From Greenville, South Carolina, we present... Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he brings the next portion of a message called Facing Death Without Fear, part of his series in the book of Joshua. In chapter 23, Joshua is giving his final exhortation to the children of Israel. Verse 14 opens with the very solemn declaration in which he says, "Behold, I am this day going the way of all the earth." Joshua here is facing the inescapable truth of his own death. He looks back over a life of faithful service to God and rests in the promises of the Lord in whom he has trusted since his youth. Here we have a solemn confession that death is the portion of every man. And yet Joshua possessed a striking confidence, for he had lived his whole life for God, and so he could face death with no regrets. He was as good a witness for God in dying as he was in living. Consideration of Joshua's last words brings us to a searching concern. How will we face death when it comes? Only by faith in the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ can we find comfort and confidence in the hour of death. At the grave of Lazarus, Christ declared, "I am the resurrection and the life." Dr. Cairns will continue the message in a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
Our text for today is found in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 24. His bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. That strength which God gives to his Josephs is real strength. It is not a boasted valor, a fiction, a thing of which men talk, but which ends in smoke. It is true, divine strength. Why does Joseph stand against temptation? Because God gives him aid. There is naught we can do without the power of God. All true strength comes from the mighty God of Jacob. Notice in what a blessedly familiar way God gives this strength to Joseph. The arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Thus God is represented as putting his hands upon Joseph's hands, placing his arms on Joseph's arms. Like as a father teaches his children, so the Lord teaches them that fear him. He puts his arms upon them. Marvelous condescension! God Almighty, eternal, omnipotent, stoops from his throne and lays his hand upon the child's hand, stretching his arm upon the arm of Joseph, that he may be made strong. This strength was also covenant strength, for it is ascribed to the mighty God of Jacob. Now wherever you read of the God of Jacob in the Bible, you should remember the covenant with Jacob. Christians love to think of God's covenant. All the power, all the grace, all the blessings, all the mercies, all the comforts, all the things we have flow to us from the wellhead through the covenant. If there were no covenant, then we should fail indeed. For all grace proceeds from it as light and heat from the sun. No angels ascend or descend, save upon that ladder which Jacob saw, at the top of which stood a covenant God. Christian, it may be that the archers have sorely grieved you and shot at you and wounded you, but still your bow abides in strength. Be sure, then, to ascribe all the glory to Jacob's God.
To his word have
From time to time, here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
Sometimes people feel, well, death is working in me. I feel illness. I feel incapacitated. Therefore, I cannot be of any use for God. That is far from true. In fact, in many, many cases, you find that people are of more use for the Lord in their dying than they ever were in their living. I have told you before of the scene in the early 1970s. My eldest sister thought she was dying, and so did we. The mercy of God, He healed her. But we thought she was dying. So did she. So did her doctors. I left her one Wednesday night and I never expected to see her again, alive in this world. As she lay there in the point of death, she realized as a Christian, she had not served God as she ought to have served Him. And she cried, Lord, before I die, give me a chance again to serve You. From what she took to be a bed of death and what was certainly a bed of extreme agony, she gave out a witness. Five people came to know Christ around that bed. The very hospital porter came in from his day off so that he could do the work of moving her about, and kneeled at her bedside and came to Christ. Roman Catholic daughter of a lawyer from another town was in the same hospital, and that room became the birthplace of her soul, and she also sought the Savior. You see, a Christian in dying can serve God as powerfully as ever he did in living, and sometimes more so. Why is that? Very simply, because the saints have something that the world may deny in life, but when they face death, they can't deny it anymore. That leads me to the final idea in the text. Here is not only a solemn confession, I am going the way of all the earth, and a striking confidence, did it without fear or without regret. But here is finally a searching concern. I said Joshua's text here is not only a statement but a testimony, not only a testimony but a sermon. And here is the sermon. Here's the searching concern. We have looked at Joshua's death, but what about my death? How will I die? I don't mean will it be in an airplane or in a car or in a hospital bed of one disease or of another. But whatever those circumstances may be, how, not of what, but how will I die? I used to ask the Lord that He would spare me to have my mental and physical faculties through my life to serve to the end. I wanted to die serving. That God would do that and take me in the full possession of those faculties that He has given, that I may serve to the end. While it may be a shock to everybody else, death is always a shock. I thought, my, when you're ready to go, there's no better way to go than just like that, you drop and you're gone. That's very true in a way. But then I came to realize that that was a selfish prayer. Not only a selfish prayer, but in some ways a prayer of unbelief. But somebody has well said, as a Christian, it's not death I fear, it's dying. And there's a world of difference. And as that came in upon my soul, I recognized that Sometimes God has to bear a testimony in a world of pain and hurt and suffering of the power of grace. And how does he do it? He does it through a pained, hurting, and suffering people who are his people. I don't know of what I'll die, where I'll die, when I'll die, but I've come to recognize what I ought to be praying for. Rome has taken this idea and has really robbed it of all its beauty and all its power by making it part of a constant, meaningless repetition to the Virgin Mary. But nonetheless, we ought not to lose sight of the strength of such a prayer to the Savior. That is, he who is with me in life will grant me the sight of his face, the sense of his presence, and the support of his arm in the hour of death. Forsake me not in life, and be with me in the hour of death. And if God grants us that, as we have every right to expect, because he has promised it, if God grants us that, then how will we die? We'll die as Joshua died. Can I ask you to that, about that in your own life? If death were to come upon you today, how would you die? What would become of you when you die? Did you ever know, not that this is proof of anything, but interesting, many of you have heard of the famous American outlaw Billy the Kid. You heard of that name? Did you know that Billy the Kid left a will bequeathing, I think it was $300,000 to anyone who could prove the existence of the human soul? And an American court made the award. It actually gave out the money. I have a higher proof than that. That word that witnesses in the depths of the heart of every man that something will happen to you when you die. And no matter what every raving evolutionist says, or what every fool of an atheist tries to say, after death there is something. Bible tells us what. He who said, I am the resurrection and the life, he tells us what. He who died and rose again and sent out his missionaries and messengers through the world with the message of life, he tells us about eternity. Let me ask you, my friend, what will become of you when you die? How can you have this confidence that Joshua had? I think obviously you can only have it as Joshua had it, if you obtain it as Joshua obtained it. How did he obtain it? He knew the Lord. That's obvious. You read this 23rd chapter of Joshua and the 24th, culminating in that great statement, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua knew the Lord. What did the Lord Jesus say? This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Paul put it this way, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. There in a Roman prison, about to die, he knew not when, every time there would be the step of a Roman soldier's foot above his dungeon, it could well be the step of the executioner. Paul, on the very edge of a horrible death, says, I know. Not I know where I went to school, I know what Gamaliel taught me, I know the theories and I know the theologies. He could say all that, but my friend, when you come to face death, where you went to school, what you learned in school, what you did for your job, how much money you made, all those things afford no confidence to the soul. There is but one thing that will bless the heart with this confidence. I know Christ. I know whom I have believed. I know him as my God. I know him as my Savior. I know him as my Redeemer. I know him as my sacrifice. I know him as my righteousness. I know him as my justification. I know that in him I am accepted and approved of God because I am washed in the blood that he shed at Calvary. I know whom I have believed. And that's the confidence. There will be no confidence in that day arising out of what you've done. No confidence that day arising out of your own righteousness, your own religion, your own efforts. If you do not know Christ, like Mahatma Gandhi, you'll say, I'm in the slough of despond. All about me is darkness. Why? Because this confidence comes from knowing him. Do you know him today? You can die a Presbyterian and die in the torment of a Christless death to go to the torment of a Christless hell. You can die a baptized Baptist and be exactly the same. I don't care what church, what religion, I tell you to know Christ as personal Savior is the only way to have such confidence. Do you know him? How do you come to know him? Paul says, I know whom I have believed. In other words, he's preaching on the hour of death what he preached all through his life. We are justified by faith. By grace are you saved through faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That truth was as precious to Paul when he was dying, yea, more so than even when he was living. So Joshua and you and I will have confidence because of knowing the Lord.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.